Welcome to Raven Rising, a podcast created by the fans, for the fans. Join your hosts Anna and Jonathan as we talk news, theories, and all other things Pendragon related. Okay, welcome to the fourth episode of Raven Rising.
Yay.
And we say yay every show.
Yeah, I know we do.
We need to think of something more original.
Okay,
Whoop-dee-doo!
No, we need something not stupid. Sorry.
Hurrah.
Okay.
Well,
I guess we should introduce ourselves. I'm Jonathan.
Yeah. And I'm Anna.
And
we're both hoping this episode goes a lot better than last episode.
And we can actually get it out before a month after recording it. Because pretty much all of the information
that was just sad
was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Like, we had that whole discussion about what we thought the cover of Soldiers of Hollow was going to look like.
And
then it was released for about a month.
Oh, that was fun. Not really.
Oh, yeah.
And, okay, about the editing for the last episode, I did that, and I never edited it before, and it was really bad. Like, the tracks weren't on sync, and she was...
I would be asking you questions that you had already answered,
Wait, which one was he gonna edit this one? Is it gonna be me or you?
Maybe we should divide it up, so less work for both of us. And then I'll, make sure you did it right this time.
Okay.
Because I noticed that I was out of sync, but by that time, it was a month later, and I didn't really want to make you do it again and have it be another month until the episode was released. So, yeah. Anyway.
Should we tell them why it took a month to actually release it, or is that just incredibly too boring?
I think we've talked about how much we hate technology enough,
yeah,
don't you?
And how we're both stupid to think that if the file's too big, if you split it in half and send both individually, it's not so big. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, so...
That was a stroke of genius.
Thank you.
I was actually really surprised when you came up with that idea.
Even your dad didn't think of that one when we were trying to figure out how to do the first
episode.
I
know. Well, he's not audio smart. He's just computer smart. Anyway.
Well, I'm not either one kind of smart.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Should we get into the news?
Sure.
Okay. The biggest news you've kind of already said is that the Soldiers of Hollow cover is released.
Yeah.
And
about a month ago, but that's okay.
I'm going to pull it up right now.
Yes. So what do you think of the cover?
One second. I will have to look at it. I remember it's really colorful. I don't know. I don't really like this one as much as the others.
I thought you said you did like it, but okay.
Well, I might have, but that goes back to the whole thing. Whenever he releases anything, I'm extremely happy.
Okay.
But
I don't really like it either.
It's
artistically, I guess.
It's way too different from all the
other
ones.
The concept. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't seem to fit with any of the others. I like the idea, how it's sort of showing the link between Bobby and St. Dane. At least I'm guessing that's St. Dane behind him. Looks kind of young to be St. Dane. And I thought his hair was all
gone.
But
he's got the same eyes.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Right. So then I thought maybe it wasn't St. Dane. Maybe it was... But then, I don't know.
And then...
But it's just so different from all the other covers.
Yeah, like... The one on Bobby's half. The background. Like...
Mm-hmm.
Is that supposed to be, like, Third Earth? Because didn't it say that on the surface it was really, like, grassy and green and everything was happy and sunshine like this?
It could be any of the Earths, I think. It could be... pretty much any territory except for Chloral or Aquilin, actually. Because, they all have mountains and grass, but...
I don't really think that it's, like, the concept that I don't like. Because it's a cool concept, but the color palette...
No, it is a cool concept.
The color palette that they chose, just...
Mm-hmm.
It's... it's just kind of unappealing.
And also the way Bobby looks.
Yeah.
He looks like he's middle-aged or something.
Like, the book looks like it's for little kids, the background, and then it's got this child molester on the front cover.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Which, how old is he by that part, that point? Like, 18, 19?
He's about 18 or 19 now. Yeah. Ish. I don't know, it depends how many years the last book spans.
So,
but
I've heard people talking that, like, they think that this is supposed to hint about Bobby actually turns into Saint Dane later, or Saint Dane is actually Bobby because, like, they look similar and their hair is part of the same. But I don't really see their hairs being part of the same.
I've never agreed with that theory.
Me neither.
I think it's more just underlying that they're not as different as Bobby might think they are.
I think if he actually did do it where Bobby is just a younger version of Saint Dane, I think that would be kind of stupid. I hope he doesn't. But,
yeah, it would bring up a lot of time travel issues that he hasn't really, you know, gone into before. And I think it would give a lot of people one big headache.
Yeah. So, not my favorite cover.
Yeah. But, I don't know, maybe it'll grow on me.
Yeah, but then maybe the title Soldiers of Hollow will grow on us too, and we're still kind of waiting on that.
Maybe.
Still got like, what, about 2 months? A month and a half?
It comes out May 12th. So a month and a half-ish, yeah.
So we're running out of time. Oh, here we go. 43 days, 8 hours, 19 minutes, and 47 seconds of us recording this. If you really wanted a hint.
And you couldn't have just stuck with May 12th. Now you've just dated our entire episode. What if it ends up coming out like a month later again?
It's probably going to come out after Soldiers of Hollow's already been released. So it's
don't
not
say
deal.
That!
Alright.
Okay.
So
anyway.
Do you want to move on?
What else is in the news?
Alright. DJ, or I don't know if it's him, but Simon and Schuster, somebody is having a first signed book sweepstakes, where you can get a chance to win the first copy of Soldiers of Hala that is signed by DJ. And the details and entry are on...
Very exciting.
It is. The details and the entry form...
I already entered.
...are all on thependragonadventure.com. And I'm reading it right now.
I think you pretty much just covered it.
It's got...
You don't need to read them all the rules. They're not very exciting.
It's something about 10-second prize winners will also receive a signed book. But they won't have the number ordering of what order they were signed in, which will be that exciting to me anyway.
I would be happy just to have a signed book, personally. I wouldn't really care if it was the first one ever to be signed, but I don't know. That's just me.
All right. So that's good.
And...
Do you want to read the last one?
Yes. Sure. DJ McHale has created a fan page on Facebook. So, for all you who are members of Facebook, you can go there, and he's got some pictures up of, like, different book signing events. And, yeah, that's about it, actually. He doesn't have much on there.
I haven't actually looked at it
in a while. But...
But, is it?
Nice. But it's still a good way to, like, keep in touch with the fans, I guess.
Is it just Pendragon stuff, or is it all of DJ? Like, the stuff that he's going to write after this, is it going to have that on there, too?
I don't know.
That's a good answer.
Like, he hasn't written that much yet. Mostly he's just talking about, like, his various book tours and... The latest post was reminding us to enter the first signed book contest.
Do we know when the deadline is for that?
But...
I guess we should discuss that.
It's like April something. I don't remember.
Starting. Yeah.
It ends April 15th. So get your entries in fast! How about that's our goal for getting
before
this
episode
April 15th.
Out? April 15th. It's probably going to be like 11...
Yes, well, before it.
59 on April... Like
59.
Before that. It's like we told you.
14th.
should have been listening to Raven Rising, then you would have known. Alright.
Yeah.
So that's all the news?
Okay. Anyway. Does that... yeah, I guess that about does it for the news. Okay. Oh, we should talk about what we're doing this episode.
This is...
We haven't talked about that yet. It would be a very good idea.
You can say it.
So...
I talked too much anyway. Yeah, I'm letting you.
I can say it.
Pass the torch. Thanks.
You do talk too much. All right. This is our special Before the War, Book 2 of the Travelers episode. So, for the entire episode, we are going to be talking about that book. So, if you haven't read it yet, please do not listen, as we will be spoiling the entire thing for you. And I don't like spoiling people.
We will spoil the whole thing except for Alder, because neither one of us can remember what happened in it. So, there you go. Because like we said, it's been like 2 months.
No, there's going to be spoilers for all of them.
Well, okay, fine.
But, yeah. So please stop listening if you haven't read this. And if you haven't read it, go buy it, because it's worth the money.
Yeah.
And it's
very
enjoyable. It
is so much
overall.
Better than the first one. If you were turned off by the first Before the War...
It is better
it
than
is,
the first one.
But this is not for right now. That's for later.
Oh. Yeah.
All right.
It is. Okay. So... On to our discussion.
Yes. Bye. Yes. Or do we say bye?
Okay.
Are we gonna have music playing?
I don't know. Goodbye.
Yay.
Okay.
Oh wait, no. We start with yay.
So...
Surprise.
Nice.
We're back.
We're back!
And now we are going to officially start our Before the War discussion. So if you're still listening and haven't read it, then for reals, like, stop listening right now. Or, and I might punch you. And that hurts.
Yeah, because you would know, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, we're going to start with talking about our overall opinions of the book. So, what did you think?
I thought this one was so much better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. I loved it. Except for Alders. I didn't really care for that one. But that's for later.
Yeah, I liked it a lot better. Do you think that's because it's not Carla writing, or do you think it's more intriguing storylines? Because I was trying to figure that out, and...
I definitely think Kasia would have been the hardest character to actually write about, because we just don't really know anything about her. But I don't know if that's really an argument, because we know a ton about Spader and Gunny, and Ellie is probably really hard to write about, too. So I don't really know if that's it.
Yeah, we don't know much about her.
But
I think... Sorry, go ahead.
Personally, I really like the characters in this one a lot more anyway than the ones that were in the first one. So that could have helped, but I don't know. It was very sparkly.
It was extremely sparkly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think overall I just like Walter in general. Like, as much as I hate Ellie, and I still really hate her, I did enjoy reading it. We'll talk about that when we get to her discussion.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Alright, the only thing...
Okay.
Oh, hang on. It was very much like DJ, I thought. But the only thing that really stood out to me as being un-DJ-ish is the chapters were really short. Like, really short.
Well...
They'd be like...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really small, and I'm kind of nitpicking, but that's the only thing that told me, hey, this wasn't written by DJ.
Yeah, it is a short book.
Yeah, but, I mean, in the first one, they weren't that short, and they're not that short in Pendragon, but...
Really?
I don't know. It's not a huge problem.
I didn't really pay attention.
Struck me as kind of odd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My problem with it was that... A lot of the dialect seemed really modern. Like, they were using a lot of slang that felt more like it was from the Earth territories. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
it kind of bothered me. I didn't notice it in the first one, but in this one, like, especially with Ellie's, it just felt like they were using a lot of really modern dialect that they wouldn't have used on their territory.
Yeah, like, St. Dane does make a point of mentioning that Quillen and Second Earth are really close and, like, really similar. Kind of like Quillen and Velox.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess they could have something like that, but it did seem kind of weird to me. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get that, you know, it's been translated into English for our sake by the Travelers or whatever.
Walter Sorrell.
But just... Well, yeah. I mean, like, in the book, it's translated through, you know, Bobby's ears.
Even though Bobby isn't
there. But, well, okay. You get my point!
I'm just messing with you.
But it just felt like... Like, there's this one part where they're saying, like, they're all gonna hang out together, and that just felt really, like, very Earth dialogue, you know?
But...
Anyway. Kind of nitpicky, but it bothered me.
Okay, so do you want to start talking about the individual stories now? Alright.
Sure.
The first one, if you weren't paying attention to our last episode, is about Asia. And the plot summary, since I'm bad at these, will be given to you by Anna.
Thanks. Okay. So I actually read this book a really long time ago, and I'm going to try to remember it. But, okay, so basically for Asia's, she's working in the Lifelight Pyramid.
She's not working. And there's she's still going to school.
What? Okay, she's training there. She's helping out. And there's this guy named Knack who she's kind of rivals with, and he creates a game that she has to beat in order to not only save herself, but all of Lifelight, pretty much.
Oh, is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
That's not summarized enough for you?
I guess it's good. I would have gone into more detail, but then I am bad at this.
Yeah, I know you would have.
I would have just started...
You would have probably given us a chapter-by-chapter synopsis.
I'd have just started reading the book to him, but whatever.
Probably.
All right.
What was your opinion of this one?
This is going to come as a huge shock to people, but it wasn't my favorite.
What?
I know, right? I actually liked Ellie's better. But it was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I started reading this one, I was like, holy crap, this is so much better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I really liked it, too. I don't know if it was definitely my favorite from this book. I don't know if I like this one or Gunny's better. I'd have to reread that one again. But I really enjoyed the whole plot, and the writing was a lot more sparkly and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, the whole thing where she was inside the labyrinth or whatever, and escaping from the Minotaur, that was really kind of like Greek mythology-ish, and that's awesome,
ish.
And it's cool, and it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, and another...
We learned...
The big
what?
News is we learned who the penultimate traveler from Velox is.
We did.
And... She is the headmistress of the academy or school or whatever you call it, and her name is Headmistress Nilsen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised by this one because I was thoroughly convinced that it was the goth vetter who works at Lifelight in Reality Bug. Because for all of.
Haven't we gone over this? Haven't we gone over this?
Podcast.
That whole part was a dream.
I know, but why would he put it in there? Why?
Because Bobby was dreaming.
So?
Because when Bobby dreams, he wants to make connections and...
Alright, fine. Just fun.
Anyway.
Alright.
Yeah, there's not much more to say about her.
We didn't really see her all that much.
We don't. She's just kind of there at the beginning and...
Did she really do anything?
Well, I guess she comes in the middle.
Did she really do anything very traveler-y? Which is a word, I assume.
What do you mean? Like, during the story? We don't really know.
Yeah, like, I don't remember, and this is horrible, but, like, did she say anything about meeting press? Or what?
At the end, but I don't think so.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Do you want to do the next one, since I know you love him so much?
I actually don't really know if there's much to talk about with it, but Saint Dane had a pretty, not a big role in this one, but bigger than in most. He was King Hruth.
It's
I don't
rough.
Know how to say this. Really?
It's rough. The H is silent. It's yeah, cause
are you sure?
Cause in Beowulf, the like one of the characters' names is like Hrothgar. It's kind of spelled the same with the H in mm-hmm. front, and you don't pronounce it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, he was the king of the game that Knack invented, and he was also wandering around as Alec Worthington on Velox.
Okay. I don't remember
what?
That part, so I'll just have to take your word for it. This is horrible.
Do you have the book in front of you or not?
No, I don't. It's in my room.
Well, you should probably go get it. Anyway. But, yeah, he had a bigger role in the game, I think, but he was definitely around, lurking. And it kind of made me wonder, like, what... Because overall, Saint Dane had a lot more active part in this book than he did in the last one. And I was sort of wondering, what's he doing on all these territories?
Well, he wasn't in the last one. But now he's showing up.
Right.
So, do you think this means that, like, the books are set up chronologically? Possibly?
I don't know.
Because, like, first three, he wasn't in them at all.
Really?
And in this one, he was only in two of them. So maybe the further into the series you get, the more Saint Dane starts to affect things. I don't know.
Like, the thing about chronologically is, you know, Hala's on all different time lengths, so even if you say it's chronological order, that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
I don't know either.
But yeah. Do you have anything you want to say about Saint Dane?
No.
Okay.
He's bad.
Yeah. Did you find it weird how he kept winking at everyone throughout the stories?
Yeah, that was weird.
I don't know about you, but I found that a little creepy.
Like, is he trying to be serious in the Order of the Phoenix movie? Like, just inappropriate winking at everybody. You know, in the Order of the Phoenix movie, how Sirius kept
winking at everybody? Do you have to keep drawing Harry Potter parallels?
Yeah.
We're not a Harry Potter podcast. I love Harry Potter, but really, this is ridiculous. No, but, like, it really creeped me out, especially in Asia's. Like, is he trying to flirt with them all or something? And then he does it to Ellie and Alder, too. And I'm like, okay, this is just weird. He just seemed a lot more, like, flamboyant than he usually is in the books. Maybe flamboyant's not the right word. I don't know. It just really creeped me out. Anyway.
Alright.
Yeah. Should we move on to Knack? I really want to talk about Knack.
What do you mean, what's his deal that you've got written here? Like,
okay, I couldn't figure out what was motivating him. And that's why I started to think, and I still think, that he's really Neva. And I'm not sure how that would fit into the whole chronological thing. Because he, like, you know, there was that one scene where we saw him talking with Saint Dane, and I couldn't figure out what his motivation was for putting Asia through all those tests, you know?
What if he was being controlled by Saint Dane? Like, he was using his little mind control power on him, and, like, he didn't actually want to do any of that.
Well, like we said on past episodes, Saint Dane doesn't like to directly do his own dirty work. He'd rather influence indirectly and not, you know, actually get in your mind to control you. in general.
Can we really use that as a past precedent, since this isn't really, this isn't turning points, this is just kind of, it's like they're testing the individual travelers to see if they can go through these situations.
But I think if Knack was being controlled, he would have had a lot less, like, personality.
I suppose.
Do you know what I mean? Like, in general, when we see Saint Dane controlling someone
kind of all, like,
really directly, they become very robotic.
Like they got, like, slack jaws, and their eyes are unfocused, and...
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, and Knack was always very alert.
What if he's, like, another, Alexander Namir? Like, what if he could potentially be a candidate for a traveler, but, like, he's all corrupt, and... I don't even know what I'm saying. Mm. I think he's weird.
I don't really know what you're talking about either. I think he's Neva.
Okay, fine. I guess we'll just have to ask DJ.
No, really, though. But, oh yeah, like, DJ would really tell us.
Or maybe we can ask Walter. Who knows? You know, I never really... like, when I was reading it, I never thought about him being Neva, but... I think that,
but,
like, I'm kind of starting to grow on it, but I don't really like to analyze books while I read them. I just kind of, like, go through them, and I'm all happy, and I got tears in my eyes the entire time.
I was really disappointed that she wasn't revealed at the end, or he, or this is going to get confusing. but, I mean, we do know that Neva, maybe not this early, but we do know that she's, you know, been messing with some of the other territories and sort of doing what she did with Bobby on Ibarra, with, you know, influencing him as Tilio. So, yeah. Because if he's not Neva, I really don't understand why he was putting Asia through that game. Just to humiliate her? Just to be better than her? It doesn't make sense.
I don't know. People on Velox seem to be, like, uber competitive to me. And is it just me, or did Asia's personality in this book not really reflect the way that she was at the beginning of Reality Bug? Where she was... She seemed more like her later self.
I sort of agree with you. I think that, for the most part, though, she was acting like we normally see her. But what I didn't get was at the end, where the headmistress asks her, you know, what have you learned from all this? And Asia's like, well, I've learned that you can't always rely on logic, and that sometimes you just have to go on this feeling that you have, or trusting someone. And it seems like in Reality Bug, she has to learn that lesson again. So, did she actually learn that, or was she just sort of giving, you know, lip service to the headmistress, and being like, I learned
like
my lesson?
That's kind of what I was asking. Like, And not just, like, the lesson and stuff, but, like, just her personality in general. Like, at the beginning of Reality Bug, she's really, really cocky and full of herself and thinks that she has all the answers. But then by, by Pilgrims of Rain and, Raven Rise, she's, like, calmed down. She knows that she needs help from other people and that she's not... Like, she can't do all this by herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of got a feeling about her like that.
Right.
In that book, too. In this book, too. And...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, she's more mature.
It sort of seems like she learned... Yeah, like, she learned the same lesson twice.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense. I mean, people do sometimes need to, you know, have several experiences before they learn their lesson. But,
or it's a continuity error. Who knows?
Yeah, but you'd think that... Yeah, it was. But, I mean, you'd think that DJ... I mean, I guess we sort of already had this discussion on episode 2, but you'd think that DJ at least proofreads these, you know?
Yeah.
Like, make sure that there isn't anything that's inaccurate or...
But we still
whatever.
Don't really know how big of a hand he had in these actual books. Like...
Yeah.
I emailed him asking that, but I'm still waiting on a reply. So, DJ, if you're listening to this, the fans
maybe you are spelled
waiting.
His name wrong, too.
Oh, God, I hope.
Maybe you offended him or something.
How do you spell DJ wrong? Well, then how do you spell that other name?
I don't know.
They don't know about that yet, though, so we'll talk about that in the
okay.
wrap-up.
Well, you didn't capitalize the H, but...
What H? Oh,
the
one
H
in
his name.
Dang it. I don't like doing this. How about
you spelled sincerely wrong. I bet that's why.
I spelled sincerely wrong, too. How about you just
yeah.
do all the emailing from now on?
Yeah. Why don't you just leave it all to me?
I can't do this.
Because clearly you cannot type.
Why is there no spell check in Gmail? Or is there?
Is there? I don't know. I've never actually written an email from Gmail.
Okay. Well,
okay, this is off subject.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Alright,
Yeah.
Press.
Anyway.
He was trapped.
He kind of annoyed me throughout this book.
He did?
Yeah. Just the way he acts all knowing all the time. Which I guess is how he always acts, but I don't know. He just irritates me sometimes.
That's his role
but
in,
go
in
ahead.
The stories, though, isn't it? He's like...
I know, but it's so annoying. To me. Because he doesn't really know everything. And if he does, that's great, but there should be other sides to his personality, you know?
But...
he can't be as great as Bobby thinks he is.
But he is, though, isn't he? I mean...
No, he's
he
not. He can't be.
Everything that's going on.
He can't know everything.
He can know as much as St. Dane does.
But he's just a traveler. I mean, he probably was the lead traveler and everything, and I get that, but to have him be as all-knowing as St. Dane, it just doesn't make any
but
sense.
But St. Dane is just a traveler.
Because
Neva's
he's
just a traveler.
Penultimate traveler.
And
no... St. Dane's not a traveler, technically, anymore, and neither is Neva.
How is Neva not a traveler?
They've defied the rules of the traveler. Because she's defied the rules of being a traveler.
She's a fallen traveler. It still makes her one. And this has absolutely nothing to do with press. So let's just get off that.
No, it doesn't. Let's go back to our press discussion. But...
Her Asia found him trapped in the maze in the Lifelight fantasy. And...
Yeah.
Did he help her, or did he just kind of hang out?
Yeah, he did. He sort of gave her riddles that led her into helping herself, I guess.
Well, that was nice of him.
It's very nice
did
of him.
Did it explain how he got trapped in the first place? Or he's just kind of hanging out there. It's like, oh, by the way, I'm from Second Earth, a place you've never heard of. But may go someday. I'll show you around sometime.
I don't really remember, to be honest, but I don't think he really said. He was more just doing cryptic
he did
nonsense
tell her that
in general.
He was real and, not part of Lifelight and all that stuff, though. And that kind of freaked her out.
Yeah, that's true. And he sort of started talking about flumes and stuff, but then he stopped.
Yeah. Alright.
Yeah.
Asia's abilities, we learned some more of in here, and we always knew that she was really smart and stuff, but she was able to memorize and calculate this long series of numbers and predict the way that the maze...
Just in her head.
Yeah, just in her head.
Just in her head.
Predict the way that the maze was going to reshape itself, and... That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. It
and
was
she's
pretty
claustrophobic,
impressive, yeah.
We learned. Which is important, of course. And,
okay.
It's weird. You get into Lifelight by laying in these narrow tubes. How come she isn't claustrophobic then?
She sort of was, wasn't she? When she first got out of the game, every time she would talk about how she hated being in these little tubes when she wasn't in the fantasy.
I was talking more about in reality.
Didn't
log.
She? Oh, maybe by that time she'd
or
sort
maybe
of.
Maybe DJ didn't want her to be claustrophobic.
I don't know. She probably just was trying to put on a tough act.
Go with
for,
that.
Bobby.
All right. Is that all?
I guess so.
Alright.
Okay. Now it's time to talk about Ellie Winter.
Yay. Okay.
Stop saying yay!
No
more yay.
I don't even realize that I'm doing it anymore. We'll say boo next time, because all these was kind of boring. But that's not for right now.
Alright. Do you want to try and sum this one up? Can I trust you to do it?
Oh, I think so.
Alright.
Alright, Ellie, by some strange collection of circumstances, gets sucked through a hole in the ground and is adopted by the revival as a cleaning lady, and then proves herself to be pretty good at finding buried treasure, and has fun doing it. Oh, and she discovers the Dotto killing rod.
Yeah.
The end.
Good job. It was surprisingly short for you.
I know, right?
Alright,
and
so
she becomes an even more awesome character than she already was.
Cough, cough.
Because she wasn't really all that awesome, but she is now. I love Ellie.
Alright.
Right,
I'll
so
let
what
you go first
opinion?
On your opinion.
Oh,
no, I'll
okay.
let you go first, because I'm going to tear it apart.
I love this one. This was my favorite of all six that have been released so far. It was really cool. I'm not going to use any explicit language. She's a BA. Alright? She's hardcore. She's a cleaning lady, and she can kick some butt, and she discovered the Dotto killing rods, and she's like got a photographic memory, and she's awesome. And I don't know why you still don't like her.
Know why I don't like her.
Yeah. Give me your opinion.
You don't know why.
Yes.
Alright. Okay. My opinion of this story. Despite how much I hate her, I did enjoy reading it because, like I said, for Asia's, the writing's just a lot more sparkly, and
okay, I just want to say
yeah,
something.
But
if we're going to stop saying yay, we need to stop saying sparkly.
But it's so sparkly, JoJo.
We say sparkly about as much as we say yay. Let's say poignant or something. An adjective that is actually related to writing.
Why is sparkly not related to writing?
Because writing can't be sparkly.
Gosh. Yes, right. It can be.
Okay, fine.
And Walter has proven it by writing this book.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
Continue.
Yeah. Oh, you wanted me to talk about why I don't like her.
No, I wanted you to give your
opinion. I think it is...
on the book.
Well, okay, but my opinion includes why I don't like her. And I cannot like Ellie because just the fact that she was able to run away from her entire life and abandon her daughter. And yeah, I know she felt guilty about it afterwards. Boo hoo. She never went back. It's one thing if if her husband had died and she didn't have the responsibility of taking care of a child, but she did. And I don't know, I'd be pretty mad if my parents did something like that, just abandon me because they couldn't deal with life anymore. Like, even if she was so depressed and on the verge of, I guess she wasn't on the verge of suicide, but she could have been. You have a responsibility as a parent, and I don't know, she just totally disgusts me. So yeah, that's my rant.
Done?
Okay, I'm done.
Well,
I feel much better
attached
now.
Attached to that, I think we should jump down to the second to last point in Ellie's part of the Google Doc about how she ran
right.
her entire life and abandoned her daughter.
You want to rebut what I just said?
Yeah, she did
okay.
not run away from her entire life. She fell down through this hole by accident and ended up with all of these...
And she never went back.
Oh, okay. Can I finish? God. She,
No, you cannot finish.
She ended up in a warehouse for the revival, and they captured her, they wouldn't have let her go back anyway. She fell into Mr. Pop, basically. She knew where it was. They weren't just going to let her go. They said that anyway. She said, like, I'm not sure if I would go home, but it's not like I could anyway because they wouldn't let me or whatever. I don't have the actual book open. So, it's not her fault that she had to leave Neva. It's the revival. And it was all for the best anyway.
Okay.
It turned out well in the end. Except for Neva turning evil.
Okay. First of all, do you know why she fell down that hole? She fell down that hole because she left Neva. She had every intention of not going back. Even if she hadn't fallen down the hole and met up with the revival and been captured by them or whatever, she was not planning on coming back to Neva. And if she really loved her daughter, like she continually claimed throughout the story, she would have tried to go back to her no matter what the revival did or said.
Okay, so she was walking because she said that she was trying to get away from her daughter. She could have just been trying to, like going for a walk to, like, maybe she was mad at Neva, maybe she was mad at herself. She could have been mad at anything. She was just walking to try to clear her head, and she was thinking, maybe I should run away from her.
No.
My daughter. And then she could have been walking for another 5 minutes, and like, hey, maybe that's not the best idea. Who knows? I still think you're wrong.
No, she...
But this isn't the debate. Okay. We shouldn't be doing this right now. We'll put up a poll.
No, but
on our website.
Oh, did you see the poll I put up, by the way?
Oh, no, I haven't checked
it. I was very proud of myself. I did that this morning.
You did?
Anyway.
I was thinking about how we need to do that. I'll go look at it right now.
Yeah. But, okay. No, I want to continue talking about this. I am not done. She left with every intention of never coming back. I am on page 89 right now. Well, 88, 89. And she's talking about, you know, she even partly blames Neva for what happened to her husband. And even if she did feel that way, that's still no excuse for leaving Neva, who's like, did it say how old Neva was here? Is she like 9 or 10?
I don't know. Oh, hey, but...
I don't know, she seemed fairly young.
I just checked the poll that you put up, and I'm winning. I have 100% of the votes.
Are you really? Did you vote?
Yeah.
Gee.
We've only got...
We have one vote, and it's you. Because I put it up this morning, and people probably don't really care that
much. We need to get an email out to everybody, like Raphael and your cousin and the guy that called us.
Well, so, anyways.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. We were finished talking about how you're wrong about how she ran away from her daughter, and we were going back to the top of the list.
Wait, what? But weren't we still...
Should we really talk about St. Denny since...
Wait, weren't we still talking about this?
Nope.
No? No?
No, we weren't.
No?
Well, we're going to talk about your favorite subject. Well, your second favorite.
My favorite. What's my first favorite?
Professor Snape. He's not in here.
But
neither is St. Dane, so... Which is your second favorite. So we don't need to talk about
that. That's a nice lead-in. You know, what was weird, though, like, in the beginning with Press and the fortune teller thing, was there a reason that he was calling himself the SD fortune teller?
Yeah, I thought that was...
Like, when I first read that, I thought it... I know, me too. And then it was Press, and I'm like, why is he... And then I was trying to figure out what else it could possibly stand for, and I still can't...
It's gotta be Saint Dane, like, doesn't it?
Like, but it was Press. Like, she recognized
him. I know,
maybe Saint Dane was... No, that wouldn't make sense if St. Dane was pretending to be Press, because...
What would be the point?
He gave her the ring and everything, so... It was all, you know, there is a road when there's not a road, or whatever that whole thing
was. Does that
was.
Still make sense?
Anyway.
Or did that ever make sense?
Huh?
That thing that
The road
said.
Thing?
Yeah. Because I don't remember.
Well, I kind of put this on the list for later in the discussion.
Oh. Wait,
but,
okay, yeah, I see it now. But we'll just get to it later.
Yeah, okay. So, I guess next we're talking about Press then?
Yeah, Press and the fortune booth thing. I don't even...
Why was he there,
anyway? I don't
even
know why this was in here.
I don't either. I didn't get it. Like, it didn't... It doesn't seem like something press would do, first of all. And I couldn't see... I don't know, I couldn't see why he was doing it. And why he was saying he was the SD Fortunes, either.
Could SD mean anything other than St. Dane?
Well, okay, on the sign it says SD Fortunes Super Duper. So, is that all it stands for?
A Super Duper like, Fortunes? See, there's another thing.
Like, of all the...
There's another thing where they're using, like, a Second Earth modern dialect. Super Duper? Do they really say that on Quinn?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, that does bother me, but... I mean, of all the initials that they could have picked, it seems so unlikely that she would have picked, or he, Walter, would have picked SD just for the
I'm
heck
sure
of it.
I'm sure it's supposed to just be a play on St. Dane. Maybe it's like, I don't know, like an...
But why would Press want to link himself with St. Dane?
Maybe it's supposed to be like an inside joke. Like, if there's people that started reading the Before the War series, like, they wouldn't get it. I don't know. Maybe Walter Sorrell's just isn't funny.
Okay. Alright. I don't have anything to say to that, so should we just move on?
Do you want to read this, or do you want me to? The passage. Yeah.
The passage? If you want to read it, you can.
This is on page 117. And it's Ellie talking first, and she's saying, "Tell Neva I'm alive."
Don't tell Neva I'm alive.
Sorry, that's kind of important, I guess.
Yeah.
Let her think that I'm dead. Let her think that I'm a hero. Sometimes a lie is better than the truth. And then Press says, "And sometimes a lie is not a lie." All right.
Okay. And this passage, I read it about 5 times because it just totally confused me, and. Like, I get that on first impression, Press is trying to tell Ellie that, you know, she's a hero. That, even though Ellie thinks that's a lie, he believes it to be true. But he doesn't know that much about her, first of all. And it also sort of seems like he's responding to the first part of what she says, let her think that I'm dead. Like, I can't tell which part he's responding to. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, if he's saying that she's not really living her life, or if he's saying that she's a hero, or both?
I'm sure he's saying that she's a hero, because she's the traveler from Quillen. I'm sure Press knows all about her, and knows what she's going to do. Knows that she has to be a hero.
The quote. I don't know, just the way it was... placed, I guess. It just seemed a little strange.
I don't really remember what the context of this is.
Like, it was when she thought she was getting caught when she was out digging the first time, or maybe the second time, with all those people. And she's like, oh my gosh, they're coming to get me, and then it was just Press.
Why was Press there?
Because he's Press. He's everywhere.
He just kind of pops in every now and then to say hi.
Yeah. Pretty much.
That is something that kind of bothered me with this book. Like, the way that they used Press.
Well, he kind of did that in the last book, too. Just sort of randomly, like, hey.
The last book, it didn't really bother me as much. But, like, this one... Because, like, you didn't really see him, it seemed, that much.
Except for when he was going to tell them about...
Yeah.
Yeah. But that one felt more like a natural integration.
In these ones,
he just sort of shows up and, like, you're a traveler.
Yeah, now they just kind of stick Press in here, wherever, like... I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I don't really care for about Press in these books. Not that he seems omniscient, that's fine, but just the way he kind of shows up all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Alright, that's not really what this point is about.
Should we move on to her abilities?
Sure. This one, this is kind of cool, I thought, that, she's able to, she's got, like, a photographic memory. She's able to memorize the contents of books perfectly after reading them only once. And,
Did you find that a little unbelievable?
Yeah.
Or was that just me?
I thought it was kind of weird that she has that amazing of an ability, and she was a cleaning lady. I mean, could she not think of a better way to utilize it?
Or even for anyone, I mean, to memorize the entire book after one reading, like...
And then not just...
I don't know. Like, seems really...
Then not just that, but, like, all of the books after only reading them once.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. Yeah. And then when she would clean, she would just quote the books and just say them to herself. And...
Yeah.
It's weird, but... I put in here...
It's a little OCD.
But it's a good thing, because I put in there that she could possibly restore the books that were lost when Mr. Pop was burned, because she knows
true.
What's in all of them, because she read all the books in the library. But she can't replace, like,
true.
The art or any of the other stuff, like the bikes and stuff. But, I don't know, I guess some of Mr. Pop is better than none.
Yeah, maybe that's what she's doing. You know how last episode we were talking about what's she doing? Maybe she's currently transcribing all the books that she's read.
Well,
I mean, that would probably take up a good deal of your time.
It'd be helping, too. Better than sweeping.
Yeah.
But, so, see, Ellie is a good character. Because she can do that.
Sure.
Okay. Do you want to move on?
Sure. So, here comes Ellie's necklace again. And
this confused the crap out of me. Like, why does she need a magic necklace along with her freaky OCD powers?
And we still don't know what this necklace does.
It's like...
Like, because I know you had written on here originally on our list that it allows her to locate the buried chest, but... She was able to do that before, and then, so what is this necklace doing?
Was she really able to do it before?
Why is it so important that it...
Because I saw that you put that,
yeah.
But I don't remember that.
Yeah, she was totally convinced that, like, this is the spot where I need to dig, and
then
she was
didn't she already have the necklace then?
And that was before.
When did she get the necklace? Was it after?
Okay, so she went to the place to dig, and she starts digging at this one spot, and then... Nobody believes her that it's there, and they all run off when they hear trouble coming. And then Press comes and gives her the necklace. And then she finishes digging at the same spot.
Okay.
And finds the chest. So she'd already known where it was.
Then after that, like, it still, like, channels itself through the necklace. Because she says whenever she finds a place that the chest
Does
is buried,
it?
The necklace starts to warm up. Like, it gets hotter.
Then how did she do
I
it
don't
before
know, maybe
the necklace?
Maybe the necklace just makes it more powerful. Or maybe... I don't know. What is up with this necklace?
Okay.
And then she gives it to Bobby and it hasn't done anything.
They put... Yeah, it's like it's been put... There's so much emphasis on it. Well, not emphasis necessarily, but... It seems like he's talked about it enough throughout the books that it's going to be important. And it doesn't seem to do anything aside from be
and
passed along to people.
And she's even holding
people.
It on the cover. Which seems like it would make it really important. But maybe it's kind of significant because, like, Press gave it to Ellie and then Ellie gave it to Bobby. So maybe it's, like, Press's last gift that he was able to give Bobby.
But
I don't know.
What? But what's the reason for giving it to her in the first place? He doesn't give any of the other travelers
know.
Gifts.
Maybe... I don't know. Does he say anything about it? Might, like, remind her of something? I don't have my book with me.
All he says is... He first he gives her the ring, and then he goes, and also, let me give you this. And then she does her don't tell Neva I'm alive thing. So, yeah.
So,
it's
is it
like,
supposed to, like, help her go back to Neva? I don't know. This is so confusing.
I don't know. Because she doesn't seem to, like, recognize it. Like, at first I thought, oh, maybe it was something that she, I don't know, some special mother-daughter connection that, like, Neva had a matching one or something, but she doesn't recognize it, and I don't know, it just seems so useless.
How is it described? I know Isn't that like golden beads that get bigger as it goes to the center or something like that?
It was a necklace made of odd little beads. In the center was a slightly larger bead made from a gold-colored
metal.
Have
we learned of anything that's gold-colored? The guns that the Dados use are gold. I don't know why that would be important.
Yeah, I don't think that's important at all, Jojo. Sorry. Maybe it helped her locate the Dado thing? The Dado wand?
Maybe.
Killer thing at the end? But she was already good at locating things, so...
This is something else that DJ really needs to answer. It's like, what is up with this necklace?
Yeah. somehow I don't think he's going to answer it in the last book. Like, if he hasn't brought it up for two books.
Well, he brought it up a little tiny bit in Pilgrims of Rain. When Bobby was thinking to himself at the beginning.
Really?
And he was like, he was touching it.
Well,
but
okay,
it didn't play any important part.
It didn't do anything,
just reminding
though.
Him of Ellie. I don't know.
Yeah.
Alright,
okay. Anyway, so we found out in the story that she also enjoys cleaning.
It sounds so boring when you say it that way.
Yeah, I don't really know why you...
I don't know why you Asia was claustrophobic. But...
Yeah, you didn't have much to say
like,
about that either.
No, like, it was, like, her... The fact that she enjoys cleaning, it let her, restore all the pictures that were ruined.
It gave her time to think about
and
other...
The... What's it called?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the rock slide or whatever? The mud slide? I don't know what it was at the beginning. So, she kind of helped the revival with her ability to clean... Her enjoyment of cleaning.
Yeah. That's good for her. I mean...
Hobbies. Cleaning.
I don't know.
That's a pretty unique hobby, I would imagine.
It makes
sense.
How
many people can actually say that they like cleaning?
Well, she also likes digging.
Cleaning and digging.
Well, some people do just like, you know, work that they do manually.
But
like
that goes back to
lets
her
your
whole
mind wander.
Ability thing. She has this incredible ability to memorize things. And then her hobbies are cleaning and digging? Really? Why not do something... Well, she likes reading, I guess, but... And she's a fast reader. Didn't she, read the book in one night? Or...
Well, if she's up all night...
Does she not sleep?
I don't know.
Ellie.
It didn't sound like
part
she slept much.
Part cleaning lady, part digger, part vampire.
Tigger?
Digger.
What?
Person that...
Oh, I thought you said tigger.
Joyce digger.
Yeah, okay, I know what a digger is. Thanks.
What did you think I said?
It's tigger. you just like the letter T a lot,
bouncing.
You know?
Okay, alright, cool.
Stop. Randomly substituting letters with the letter T.
They don't
okay?
know
just
why
really.
The letter T is important right now. Only Raphael knows that. But they don't know who
Stay
he is.
Stay tuned until the end. And you will find out what we are talking
Stay
about.
Stay tuned until the end to figure out why the letter T is so funny. I bet he didn't even notice it. T and F are really similar.
Yes, he did. He probably just didn't want to embarrass you and point it out. Be a good person, you know?
The same way that DJ didn't want to embarrass me by pointing out that I spelled sincerely wrong.
Pretty much, yeah. That's probably why he hasn't replied to you. You know, you should just leave all this
to
me.
Well, you weren't doing anything, okay? I had to do something.
Well, you didn't tell me that there was a new email. I mean, I suppose I should check it more often. I didn't think anyone was emailing
I just
you.
Happened to...
Okay, anyway, this is totally off subject.
We'll just edit this part out. We already did the next one, so you want to jump down to the moral?
Yeah. Sure. So, the moral of the story seemed to be what Press was repeating to Ellie and what she later found in one of those books about how even when it seems the road has ended, there is always another road. And, again, like with Asia's, it didn't really feel like Ellie had learned this lesson. if she had, I think that she would have tried to go on with her life more. Do you know what I mean? Like, be a traveler, try to see Neva again. Do you agree?
Not really, because, I mean, I would have thought that if she had tried to go back to see Neva, that would have seemed kind of selfish to me. Like, right now, she's trying to help Olive Quillen.
Really?
And, like, she would just leave them to try to, like, when she's got all these talents that they need.
To look after her daughter. That's not selfish.
Why wouldn't she just bring her daughter back, though? Bring Neva to Mr. Pop. That would seem like the best idea.
What?
Like, take Neva to join the revival with her. But that could have very well been what she did, since Neva was pretending to be part of the revival.
That's not what she did, though. Neva.
No, I mean, like, after the story had ended. Like, Neva faked being in the revival. Maybe, it was Ellie. Oh, no, because Ellie hadn't actually spoken to Neva since they left. I don't know why she didn't do it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, when you just think about where she started and where she ended up in the book, like, I mean, I guess she was a little happier, but she didn't seem to have really moved on with her life.
Yeah. Like,
she hadn't found another road.
Like, the moral that you put in there, there's always another road. Like, what do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that there's, even when you seem, it seems like you have nothing to live for, you can always still go on and keep living.
Okay.
But it just doesn't seem like she's really living, and...
Was that quote, was that in one of the books? That was in the little, thing that she found that guy was so happy about, because they thought that it was all gone, that I can't remember the name of right now.
Yeah, it's from the Analects of Kelm.
Yeah, but that's what Press said too, right? So
right.
How did he...
Yeah, so that's another weird thing.
How did he know about it? Could he have been
around, like,
during the beginning of Block when they were burying all of these? Because then that makes this whole time travel thing again. Because we know it's possible.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because St. Dane and Neva are able to manipulate the flumes to put them whenever they want to.
Right, but I always thought that was because they had broken the rules. You know what I mean? Like, they were able, since they weren't technically travelers anymore, they were able to do things that the others couldn't. But if Press can do that too...
But do we really know that they aren't technically travelers? I mean, we don't know what makes a traveler a traveler. Because other than that, they're illusions, and we still have no idea what that means. So.
Okay, I still think they're travelers by the technical sense, since they can travel through the flume. But when I say the travelers, I think of it as being, you know, the ones who are... trying to put things as they were meant to be, in their words. Because Bobby doesn't consider Neva a traveler anymore.
Like...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, there's... Like, the... There's Team Traveler, and then there's the people that have the ability to travel, so... Yeah.
Right. And you know how... Like, as far as we know, at least, Neva and St. Dane are the only ones who can shapeshift, too. So I always thought that they can only do that because they've broken the rules and they've made a point to differentiate themselves from the other travelers.
See, I always thought that all of them had the same powers, just that St. Dane... Well, I thought St. Dane and Press both knew how to use them all, but Press chose not to, or at least not to show them how, because, I don't know, it seems more like that'd be kind of the whole... like, he doesn't give Bobby all the answers. Like, he makes him figure it out as he goes along, instead of, like, feeding it to him, because then he doesn't really learn anything from it. So, I don't know, and then St. Dane just tells Neva everything that he knows to make her just as powerful as he is. So, I don't really know what I'm saying anymore. I hope it made sense to you, but...
No, it made sense. I don't know, I still don't see Press as being, as powerful as St. Dane. I think he could be if he had chosen to go down that path, but I think that because he chose to be on the side of good I guess you could say, that he doesn't have access to all of those
not-so-good
powers.
The traveler powers are like the Force. You know how, like, there's, like, good Force powers, and then there's bad Force powers, and there's neutral ones? Like, the good ones, you can, like, heal each other and bring each other back from the dead, and then the bad ones are, like, you can shapeshift and go through time, and then the neutral ones are, like, hearing and understanding all languages, and, the persuasion.
That was a good analogy.
See? Star Wars. We don't just make Harry Potter references.
I'm actually not a big fan of Star Wars, but that's not the point. And that was a good analogy.
I thought so.
I'm glad.
We should use that in the name.
So
Pendragon, the new Star Wars.
How about no?
There's a dark the dark side of the traveler powers. I don't know, that's horrible.
I think it's about time to wrap up Ellie's
discussion.
We've
been talking about Ellie for almost 35 minutes.
You've been doing this. Yes, quite impressive. Yeah. All right.
She deserves it, though. So.
Okay. Time to move on.
Here we're going to talk about Alder.
Yay!
No, we're not saying yay. Because we say yay every time, but this one was bad.
Okay, how about Super Duper?
How about...
I think that's what we should do from now on.
Super Duper?
Super Duper!
That'll be the name of this one.
Okay.
Alright.
Anyway.
Alder.
So.
You want to give a plot summary?
Sure. So basically, Alder is this poor little orphan living in the Bedouin? Yeah, okay. Living in the Bedouin castle. And he really wants to be a knight, but he's too poor to actually afford to become one. And then this Master Wenzel takes him on as his apprentice and teaches him how to be a knight, pretty much. And he learns things that the people at the academy never did.
That was good for someone that doesn't remember what happened in the story.
Yeah, I really don't remember, actually.
All right,
it's kind of bad, but...
What's your opinion on this one?
I can't dislike it, but I don't know, it didn't interest me. I've never been a big fan of Alder, and the whole thing just felt like some sort of typical kind of cliche fantasy novel.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It just all seemed like, oh, he meets this mysterious guy who turns out to have all the answers, even though he seems really weird and rough on the edges. And, I don't know.
And
it
like
wasn't
this old guy
as likable.
Doesn't seem like he'd be good at fighting. Turns out
yeah,
to be
but then
he
turns
awesome.
Out to be a master. Yeah.
Yoda! For more Star Wars references.
Okay, you can stop drawing Star Wars parallels now. So, was your opinion of Alder's story?
I was really disappointed by this one. Because... like, we had these two other stories, and they were really, 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 really good. And Asia's was good, and she was my favorite character, and that was awesome. And then Ellie was a cool character, and hers was amazing, and that was awesome. And then Alder, I really liked Alder. I still like
really?
Him. But, yeah, he was, like, one of my favorites. And then he just gets this really boring story, and I don't think... he was done justice in this one. It was good, I guess, but...
No, yeah, it wasn't bad, it just wasn't... it wasn't sparkly enough.
Yeah, it was better than Spader's and Kosh's, but it wasn't very enthralling.
Sparkly.
Sparkly, I'm sorry, it wasn't very sparkly.
Or Super Duper.
Alright, but...
But, yeah.
We learned who the penultimate traveler was, and it is Master Wenzel, which...
yeah, it's really confusing, because I thought for sure that Alder had said that his brother was the penultimate traveler.
Yeah, so did I. Like, I could have sworn it said that specifically in the book somewhere. And then...
okay, I need to grab Merchant of Death now.
No, I
should have probably done this earlier, but...
I don't think it said it in Merchant of Death. Or it might have.
When did it say it?
I don't really remember. That's the thing. It might have been in March Through Death, or it might have been in, like, Raven Rise. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that goes back to the thing where we thought that Spader's dad's name was Vos Bader Sr. I could have sworn that that was in the book somewhere.
Well, I think that's more just a thing that the fans kind of fabricated, but I can't find it. But I don't know. I know that Alder did talk about his older brother, though, which was why it was also kind of weird that he didn't mention him at all in this story.
Yeah, and was saying that, like, he was...
He's an only child.
Like, an orphan.
Well, orphan doesn't mean...
Didn't have any family.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but it was like he didn't have any family.
Right.
No parents, no siblings.
Right.
And I don't know. Do you think... Surely DJ wouldn't have approved it like that if he knows that Alder's brother is the Traveler. And Master mm-hmm. Wintle is, like, old. He can't be his brother. Not to mention it didn't say that.
Yeah.
it's weird. And then, this isn't really on here, but, that Milago kid that he was helping from the Bedouin Knights and then helped him from the Milago Miners.
Yeah. What about him?
He seems like he would be a good acolyte instead of the Milago Miners' wife who died in the transfer ceremony.
That's true. It did seem like kind of a random part.
Yeah.
Like, at first I was thinking, oh, maybe he's I don't know, some distant relative of Alder's that we've never heard of before.
Who, the Milago kid?
Because he... Yeah, well, like, it was just sort of weird how he sort of ran off in the end after, like, Press came, and then we never saw the kid again.
Maybe Press was the kid.
And then... Press was... No, they were both in the room at the same time.
Oh. Well, maybe the kid was Saint Dane. Oh, no, because Malice is Saint Dane. Maybe the
kid... Well, he could have been, I guess, but...
The real acolyte, and he was just lying to Bobby.
I don't know, it just seemed like kind of... Like, he was made out to be a pretty important character, and then we just sort of dropped him. Like, it didn't seem to go anywhere.
Yeah, and then, like, the acolyte that he does pick, the miner's wife...
Well, we don't know that much about her.
Yeah, I know, but, like, oh, why her instead of this kid? Other than, you know, maybe DJ just didn't know that the kid was there when he was writing March of Death, or whenever he introduced the character.
Again, I don't think we really know that much about her, like, enough to say whether or not she's qualified to, you know, do that.
Yeah, but, I mean, even then, I can just think of a bunch of other people that seem like they would be good people to be his acolyte. Like, Relan seems like he would have been a good one before, you know, he kind of went crazy and started killing everybody.
Yeah, he kind of went corrupted, so...
Well, yeah, but that was before.
Probably a good thing. Well, okay.
And he probably wouldn't have been corrupted if he was Alder's acolyte.
But then the entire story would have been different.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
He could have just introduced any other random, miner and said, hey, this guy was one of the leaders during the rebellion. Now he's marrying the queen and going out to kill the low sea. Okay.
Anyway.
This isn't really important. But hey.
No, it's not.
It's a good tangent. And,
yeah.
Saint Dane was in this book.
My second favorite!
Yay!
Yay!
And he was his Malos.
We just did yay again.
Ah, dang it.
Super duper!
Super duper! Okay.
Yeah.
Malos?
Was a creep again.
He's gotta be Saint Dane's laziest transformation. Because isn't it basically Saint Dane just sitting on a horse?
No, he has darker hair and, like, gruffer features, I think. And I think he's, like, tan, isn't he?
Oh, well, they still, seem really similar.
Me.
I don't like Malice.
Okay.
He's a meanie head.
He's Saint Dane. Of course Saint Dane's gonna be mean.
Not when he was the little blue-haired girl holding a flower in Blackwater. He just kind of stood there.
Okay. She wasn't blue-haired.
Uh-huh.
She was, like, blonde. They don't have blue hair.
Nah, that Faith or Fane or whatever her name was, the one that worked the irrigation controls, had blue hair.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, huh.
She had black hair.
I did.
No.
The HoloWiki.
No.
Article on her, which is probably vandalized.
Well, then maybe you did it wrong.
I wrote whatever was in the book, and it said that she had blue hair. It said somebody had blue hair. This.
Okay.
Why are we talking about this?
I don't know, because you keep bringing up irrelevant things.
All right.
And
let's go to the moral.
already on the moral. Okay. So the moral of the story was that being a knight isn't all about the fancy training and being so glamorous as Alder originally thought it was. It's more about being brave and doing the right thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And another one, I guess you could say, would be, I guess the golden rule, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you or whatever. Because, like, he helped the little Malaco kid when he was getting picked on by the knight.
Yeah.
And then the kid helped Alder. Does the kid have a name? I can't remember it.
Yeah, it was something with a G.
I've just been calling him the kid this whole time.
Gavith.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Gavith. When, he was, helping Gavith with the knights, and then Gavith helped him get away from the Malaga miners. It's, now I'm just gonna call Alder him. I can only use one name per sentence, apparently.
Okay. Yeah, that's
all.
Really about all.
Well, there's
we have
his sword. Isn't that kind of special?
What?
The sword that Wintel gives Alder.
Yeah, it's shiny. I don't know. What do you mean it's special?
It's sparkly.
What's so special? What's so special
it
about
sparkles.
It? It does.
I don't know what's special about it. We've already discussed that. I don't remember what happened in this book, pretty much. Okay.
Yeah. So, that about does it for our Before the War discussion.
We'll see you at the wrap-up.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sorry.
Super-duper.
Yay! No, not yay.
Not yay.
Dang it. Not yay.
Okay.
Super-duper. It's just a habit.
I know. We're at the wrap-up. Super-duper.
Super-duper. It's so awkward.
I know.
Nobody says super-duper. I mean, really.
Like, you can't even use it the same way as you use yay.
Yeah. Anyway.
So bad.
So.
All right.
This went a lot better than last episode, and hopefully it'll be out in a more timely manner.
Yeah. We've kind of already talked about this, but the last episode's information is really, really dated. Like,
yeah.
We talk about, well, you've already all heard it.
Yeah.
But pretty much what happened is my computer sucks, and it wouldn't let me send the file, and I tried like tons of different ways. And by tons, I mean three. And I just tried the three over and over again. And we were actually thinking of just mailing my jump drive with the episodes to Anna.
Yep.
But
like through the postal services.
Yeah.
Really old fashioned.
And then me, with my stroke of genius one day, just decided, hey, if the file's too big, why don't we just cut it in half and send her both halves? So, and again, we've already talked about this, but we don't really have anything to talk about in the wrap-up except for shout-outs, and so we're just trying to buy time.
Well, let's go to our shout-outs.
Yeah,
We actually did get a voicemail call, which we were both extremely squeeful about.
Yeah,
and
we sent emails to each other, all in caps, And we were talking about how awesome it was. So for you listening out there, we don't know your name or your email address or anything about you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's for future reference for anyone else who might be calling us in the future. Could you please, like, leave your name in the voicemail? Because otherwise we don't really know what to call you. Or whatever you want us to call you. It doesn't have to be your real name if you don't want us to know that. But some sort of screen name or something, because...
Because it makes your shout-out much easier. Since that's pretty much what we're going to do, because we're just shocked that anyone actually listens to this.
Yeah, because right now all we can do is call you the voicemail guy.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, nice title and everything, but it's not very personal.
Right now you're voicemail guy number one.
Voicemail guy number one? We don't even have a number two.
I know, but we can't...
We don't need to start numbering them yet.
But we're going to get a number two eventually, and then
we
don't want to.
But if that person gives their name, then we don't have to number them. Numbering is just so impersonal. Come on. It's not nice. It is not super duper.
Alright, but no, this has been a big day or a big month, I guess, for Raven Rising feedback, because we also got our first email that wasn't from one of our cousins, and this guy actually gave his name, and it was...
And JoJo butchered it.
I didn't butcher it, I just...
You did, well...
Okay, well...
Okay.
It was from this guy Raphael, and he was emailing us. We're not going to say what it's about, because we're like the government, we like to keep our secrets private, but I replied to him. It was me, and...
Well, he did say our show was awesome.
Well, duh, but everybody says that.
Everyone says that.
Yeah, all two people
we've gotten
that we've
three
heard
comments,
from.
And... Yeah, alright.
But I replied to him, or to you if you're listening to this, and I put a T instead of an F, but they're really close to one another on the keyboard, and they kind of look the same. And...
Oh, they do not look the same. Now you're just making excuses. You could at least proofread your emails before you send them.
I know.
Really?
I was trying to act all professional.
It's terrible.
And then I just can't even spell a name right. And then she tells me that on my email that I wrote to DJ asking him some stuff, I spelled sincerely wrong. So I'm just not going to email anymore.
You also spelled believe wrong in one of them.
I always spell believe wrong.
You spelled a lot of things wrong,
actually. I'm a horrible speller.
You spelled it like Belive or something.
Belive? How do you spell it?
I mean, there's another E after the I.
There's entirely too many E's in that word. I'm like Shakespeare. He made up words all the time.
Okay, but...
And changed them.
You Belive things now instead of believing them? Alright. Okay.
Alright, so,
But the name thing is the worst. I mean, come on. Can't even spell the guy's name
sorry
right.
About that.
And he wrote it right there for you.
I spelled my name right, though.
That's great.
Alright,
Okay.
Oh, we just have some breaking news also. Yes.
Breaking.
As of this
Not
recording,
quite.
Book 3 of Before the War has been out for a week, and neither one of us has even opened
it. I think it might even be more than that. I actually don't. But, yeah, I have mine, I just haven't read it yet, and...
And I don't have mine yet.
JoJo doesn't have his.
No.
But that'll probably be our next episode.
If we've read
discussion.
It by then. And if not, then we'll just...
We will
go
have.
By what we decided we'd do in the last episode.
What did we decide we were going to do?
We were going to do pen pals for lore and a Hala hypothesis for end of Raven Rise.
Oh, okay.
Now, so... What order is the stuff in the third book? The stories?
That is a good question.
I thought so. And it's downstairs.
One that I don't really know. It is downstairs.
And you're too lazy to go get it.
And pretty much, yeah. I know.
No,
what is ever going to be done with me?
Anna, I must say, that is not very super duper of you.
I know. I'm sorry. I just, you know, can't help it.
So,
But, yeah, we'll be talking about that.
You're killing the wrap-up.
I'm killing the wrap-up? Okay, you know what's really weird? On Amazon, it says it's not supposed to come out until April 9th.
And it's not even April yet.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought it was supposed... It's supposed to come out in March, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it did come out in March.
Yeah, but I thought it was supposed to.
Wait, graphic novel? They're making graphic novels of Before the Wars?
Wait,
I don't know. Amazon is all confused.
Amazon is confused?
Amazon is very confused. Okay, I was looking at the wrong thing. It's not going to be released April 9th. But, yeah.
I can get it by Tuesday, something. March 31st, if I order in the next 25 hours and choose one-day shipping.
You sure could. I don't think we're going to be recording by, tomorrow, though.
And I'm eligible for free Super Saver shipping.
Or Tuesday. Are you really? Well, you have to order more than $30 worth of stuff.
Well, this is, seven. So.
Right.
Just gotta buy five of them.
Or you could actually buy other things.
Crazy idea. Why would I do that?
I don't know, because there's other books in the world.
Lies. Lies and slander.
Okay. Do we have anything else we need to talk about? Or should we just go on to our contact information?
Do you want to talk about the cover for book three?
Not really, but...
No, because, in the last episode, in the wrap-up, we talked about the cover for book two.
All right. Jeez.
I don't know what's happening. Oh.
Okay, so did you want to talk? What? So did you want to talk about the cover?
Yeah. I guess. Alright.
Okay. Not much to talk about it.
Alright. Lore's, outfit. Is it, it's not supposed to be furry, is it?
It's kind of weird.
It was, leather.
I don't think it's supposed to be furry. Maybe it's, a training outfit.
Is that what she's doing?
But it looks like she's sort of dressed... Well, it looks like she's sort of dressed up, so maybe they wear fur when they're going to, a party or something.
And
the thing in her hair.
The little dangly bead things. Seems like they would get in the way when you're fighting. But she does have her weapon with her. Does she carry it around with her all the time?
Yeah. Probably, if she's in training. It does kind of fit her personality.
And, what about Siri?
He looks sort of like I pictured him, I guess.
I didn't picture his hair like that. And didn't it say that he was dark-skinned? I always thought that meant he was black.
It said he was tan. I don't think it said he was black, necessarily, but...
But he's not tan. He's,
Yeah. Well,
paler than I am.
Probably going to sound kind of racist, but isn't Laura supposed to be really dark? The way Bobby describes, them.
Oh, I don't know. Is she? Because I always picture her pretty much looking like that.
Oh, really? I pictured her... Well, not really the way she looks on the cover of the sixth, but more close to that than the way she looks here.
I don't remember what she looks like on the cover of the sixth.
Well, you should. But she's a lot darker skinned on that one. And much more fierce.
Alright, that pyramid thing. Yeah. The pyramid thing that's behind her, that was on... Rivers of Zadar, too.
On the cover? I don't think so. Really?
Yeah. I thought it was her and Bobby, and they were standing in front of it.
You just said you don't even remember the cover.
Well, I know, but I thought there was some big, weird, Mayan-looking pyramid thing.
I know it talked about it in the book. I don't know if it was on the cover.
I've only read that one once. I need to reread that one. I don't remember what happened.
That one's my second favorite, but... This is not what we're talking about right now.
No, it's not. Okay, is that Tribunal Mountain behind Siri?
Yeah, probably. What's the building behind Patrick?
I don't know, because I thought all the skyscrapers were gone.
Is that just some random third Earth?
Because they all live underground, so why is there a skyscraper?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I thought the only building that was left up there was, some farmhouses and the library.
The Statue of Liberty? Well, they still have the Statue of Liberty, so maybe they kept a few other, to show how far they've come or something.
Like the Empire State Building?
Maybe.
I know that Patrick mentioned the Empire State Building in Raven Rise thing. Raven Rise. I don't remember which one was the actual name. And,
Nice.
Like, I can't remember if he said that he'd seen it before, since, like, he was a history teacher. So, like, he knew what it was, mm-hmm. but it's not supposed to be there. Or if he mm-hmm. was... Like, he knew it was supposed to be there, but it just kind of looked weird. Like, since it was all decayed. Mm-hmm. So, I don't remember that.
I don't know. I think overall the cover's really pretty, but they don't really look how I pictured them.
No.
I guess is my overall opinion.
I don't like the way that Patrick looks. He looks too young to me. He doesn't look like
a teacher.
He's
supposed to be pretty young.
Yeah, but he looks too young. And is he wearing, like, a flannel thing?
It is kind of weird that he's wearing jeans.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is 5,000 years in the future.
Like, I thought they all wore pretty standard clothes, but...
Like, I mean, 5,000 years ago from now, they didn't wear jeans. So... I mean, 3,000 years.
No, they did not.
And he's not working the turtleneck, I'm sorry. It's not doing him any favors.
Nice.
And... alright, and Siri's
okay.
thing, it's like bright red. But
they wear bright colors on Ibarra.
Yeah, but didn't it say that they were all like blue and green and more
I
like...
They had red
on
too.
The cool side of the spectrum?
I was wondering why he's wearing like this toga kind of thing. Like it said it was
is
just
he also
a...
his karate match or what?
Oh, I think that about does it for the cover.
I guess that's
Should
pretty
we
good.
Start wrapping up the wrap up?
Alright, do you wanna start giving our contact info?
Sure. Okay. If you wanna contact us for any reasons, whether you have new ideas for the show, questions, comments, whatever.
Breaking news.
Yes.
Like the book being released.
Yeah. Okay, I think we would know about that, but okay. Anyway, you can email us at raven.rising39@gmail.com.
Or...
You want to give the voicemail?
I don't know the voicemail, but I do know the email. I mean, the website.
You okay.
You can check out our website and vote on our polls and post on our forums at ravenrising.weebly.com.
Yes. And you can also call our voicemail line at 206-888-6547.
Yeah, and doing any of those things,
yep.
or really even just thinking about doing them, will earn you a shout-out that you'll get.
How would we know
show.
If they're thinking about doing them?
Well, because they gotta think pretty hard. If you think really
okay.
hard about doing them, we'll give you a shout-out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
all right.
Think about it.
How about actually do that?
Okay, that works.
Yeah.
And,
all right.
And remember to say super duper as much as possible tomorrow.
How about every day?
Oh, because every day it'll get old, like yay. Yay.
Yeah, that's true. No more yays.
I miss yay. Super duper doesn't work
like,
it.
We should like...
That's good.
But it's super duper. Come on. Nothing is better than super duper. Anyway, so what are we doing for next episode? We're doing a special Before the War Book 3, correct?
Well, if we both have it / have read it, then we'll do Before the War. But if not,
yes.
then we will go through with our plans for what this episode was going to be last time.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and hopefully it's going to be a lot better. And
not a month late.
And so we go.
Bye.
Bye. Have a super duper day.